Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond with the reading of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated April 5th, 2016. We'll begin today with an article on the front page by Allison Petty, and the headline is, Man Collapses, Is Resuscitated at City Council Meeting. Quick response by several city officials likely saved the life of a man who collapsed while addressing the Decatur City Council on Monday. Russell Schulke, a frequent attendee of council and other civic meetings, regularly reads prepared remarks and historical commentary on agenda items during the time designated for appearance of citizens. He was speaking about the Decatur Public Library on Monday when he trailed off, gripped the podium, wavered, and fell backward. Fire Chief Jeff Abbott, seated in the first row of the audience, caught Schulke before he hit the floor. City Manager Tim Gleason, Interim Police Chief Jim Getz, Councilwoman Dana Ray, who is a physician, and several other city personnel rushed to assess Schulke's vital signs and offer aid. Abbott and Ray administered CPR, then used an automatic external defibrillator to revive Schulke. The larger-than-usual crowd for the council meeting gasped when Schulke fell, then sat in stunned silence for a few minutes before being asked to leave the chambers. Decatur Fire Department personnel arrived within minutes and took over life-saving efforts, followed by paramedics from Decatur Ambulance Service, who transported Schulke from the Decatur Civic Center to the hospital. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf told the audience that Schulke was conscious when taken from the building. "We will hope for the best for him," she said. Gleason said he could tell from the moment Schulke began speaking that he was not feeling good. He credited the response by Abbott and Ray with saving Schulke's life. "I'm sure that he suffered cardiac arrest at one point. We were not getting vitals," said Gleason, who is a former police officer. Quick response on the part of Chief Jeff Abbott and Dr. Dana Ray. They resuscitated him, and the last word we have is that he's doing well in the intensive care unit. The entire incident took place in less than a half an hour. The council meeting proceeded normally afterward. A photograph with this article shows members of the Decatur City Council audience waiting outside the chambers while emergency workers administered aid to the man who collapsed. In a related article, Allison Petty also writes this: Council acquires library, considers cupcake rules. The Decatur Public Library facility and all the capital needs that come with it will now belong to the City of Decatur. The City Council on Monday voted 5-2 to approve a long-negotiated deal to transfer the facility at 130 North Franklin Street to city ownership. The agreement takes effect May 1st. In a lengthy meeting, council members also heard public comments urging an ordinance for home bakers, studied the issue of residency requirements for city workers, and approved an option for violators of city codes to perform community service in lieu of fines. City Manager Tim Gleason reacted favorably to the library decision after the meeting. Quote, I'm excited about this next chapter, he said. The library board unanimously approved the agreement last week. Under the plan, the library will occupy its current space in the building and pay rent that starts at $575,000 annually, including utilities. The city can increase the amount by 2.5% every 5 years. City officials have said they will seek a tenant for unoccupied space on the library's second floor and potentially in its annex building. Quote, "When we talk about the opportunities for that unused space, I respect that you've got a library board and library employees that want to get down to their work about taking care of the library for the city," Gleason said. "But I welcome their input, and I actually expect their input in helping us provide opportunities for that unused space." Negotiations for the city deal began in November. Library officials had planned last spring to sell the building to the Decatur Public Building Commission and share space with Macon County offices, but council members did not approve that plan. Councilman Bill Faber and Chris Funk voted against the measure. Faber said he did not know why the city would want to assume maintenance costs that are only destined to increase as the building ages. Quoting, "What this decision is going to do is hamper our city and our community for the next decade," he said. "What's going to happen eventually is we're going to get more layoffs of city personnel, fire, police, city workers, because of the expenses that are going to be incurred by managing and upkeeping this white dinosaur." Funk said he did not want his vote to be construed as a lack of support for the library, but he questioned the length of the agreement, given the uncertainty about how libraries might change in the coming decades. The lease extends 20 years, but with an option to extend it up to 50 years. During the portion of the meeting designated for public comments, residents lined up to urge adoption of an ordinance that would allow home bakers to sell their goods, such as birthday and wedding cakes. Lawmakers in 2014 amended state law to allow the use of non-certified kitchen equipment in the home preparation of baked goods. However, the law only goes into effect with approval of a local governing body. Macon County Health Department officials have expressed concerns about ensuring food safety. Several business owners said the lack of an ordinance was preventing them from selling baked goods to people who wanted to buy them. One woman produced proof that city staff had previously ordered her cakes. Speaking later in the meeting, several council members said they wanted to consider the ordinance. Quote, "Frankly, I think it's ridiculous that we can't have cupcake bakers in Decatur, and whatever obstacles we have, or we think we have, we ought to just work through ASAP," Funk said. Gleason said he would likely invite health department representatives to attend the next council meeting and share their perspective. A lengthy study session covered the topic of residency requirements for city workers. The issue is complicated because residency requirements are defined in union contracts for police, fire, and American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Workers. Several council members have expressed a desire to require or encourage city employees to live within city limits. Gleason said he would use the next 30 days to gather more information and learn more about similar efforts in the city of Springfield. Ultimately, it becomes the council's direction on where they want me to take residency with city employees, he said. The council also approved a measure that would allow people who violate city code to receive community service as a punishment. Fine amounts range from $150 to $2,000, depending on the type and number of offenses. 1 hour of community service could be substituted for every $10. The availability of the option will depend on the number of community service opportunities that city attorneys are able to provide, Corporation Counsel Wendy Morthland said last week. A photograph shows residents who are in favor of the so-called cupcake ordinance lining up to address the Decatur City Council. There are at least six and probably more people pictured. The article that takes up the most space and a prominent position on the front page has this headline: Synthetic Marijuana, a Problem in Decatur. And it was written by Justin Kahn, an H&R staff writer. Diana Champion is tired of crossing paths with synthetic marijuana. The Decatur woman has seen several family members under the influence, including one who became addicted. They're like zombies when they're on it, Champion said. They can't talk right, they don't sleep, they just stare out into space. Also known as K2, spice, F-weed, and many other names, synthetic marijuana was first outlawed in Illinois in 2011. But manufacturers of the drug, many of them in China, stayed one step ahead by changing the formula to avoid specific banned substances. Quote, "As soon as they would ban it, the compound would change," said Macon County Sheriff Tom Schneider. "We would seize it, and it would come back as not illegal." But a new law, more comprehensive in its list of banned substances, went into effect in Illinois in January. Schneider said the new law put local police in a better position. Now we know if we're dealing with someone selling it, it's an illegal sale," Schneider said. While synthetic marijuana is no longer sold in plain sight at stores in Decatur, Champion and HSHS St. Mary's behavioral health counselors Michael Reeves and David Hall, pardon me, David Vail, said it's still available. They're all still selling it, Champion said. They're not going to sell it to a stranger, but they will their regulars. Vail said it disappeared for a short time, but now is back. Quote, "Just go behind these stores. You'll see all the foil wrappers," Vail said. Many feel more needs to be done locally. Champion has spoken at two Decatur City Council meetings, and Schneider said he supports legislation at any level outlawing synthetic marijuana. Quote, "We have such a hard time with this, keeping up with the scientific aspect of it," Schneider said. "Anything we can do to make sure everything is considered to making it illegal is beneficial to law enforcement." There's some debate about how prevalent the drug is. Decatur Memorial Hospital reported it didn't see many cases in the emergency room involving synthetic marijuana, and psychology specialists, licensed clinical psychologist Randall Stoklas said he hasn't seen it in his work with adolescents. Schneider said his office hasn't seen an increase in synthetic marijuana usage, but also hasn't seen a decrease. Reeves said St. Mary's admits 1 to 2 people a week who have been smoking synthetic marijuana. Schneider and Vail said they see synthetic marijuana as a major problem in Decatur and Macon County. Quote, "I'd put it up there with heroin as far as the harm it can do," Schneider said. Synthetic marijuana is a misleading name. It's meant to mimic the effects of marijuana, but the synthetic chemical that is sprayed on a plant-like substance, it resembles potpourri and is often marketed as that in stores, it is sold in, has little in common with actual THC. Quote, "The biggest misconception is that it's fake weed," Vail said. "They couldn't be further from the truth. It works on the same receptors in the brain that cannabis does, but that's the only way it's the same." The zombie-like state Champion described her family members being in after they used the drug are common. However, Reeves and Vail said the amount of different chemicals used, Reeves said as many as 100 have been found, makes the effects differ depending on the person or even the batch. If 4 people in a room do it, it could affect all 4 differently, and plus the batches change, Reeves said. For one person at one time, it might be like being high on marijuana. But for another person at another time, it can turn on schizophrenic-type behavior. For another, it might give them a bunch of energy. And for another, it might make them really agitated. Quote, continuing the quote, "It's the agitated one that we normally see in the hospital. People who might want to hurt themselves." Vail added, "And it can turn on you also. One time it can feel like that calm, mellow high, but the next time you smoke it, it changes. Panic attacks, vomiting, seizures, and convulsions have also been reported by users." Reeves said he worked with a patient who had a seizure and ended up in a coma for 17 days. Long-term effects are still being learned, but Vail said there has been a link between synthetic marijuana and psychosis. "What's happening is, if someone is predisposed to a psychotic break, especially in teens, this is triggering it," Vail said. "It may or may not have been turned on, but this stuff is causing us to see schizophrenia at ages earlier than we've ever seen it." Continuing the quote, "And there have also been cases where people have gotten catatonic on it and stayed like that for a very long time and even not come back at all." Reeves said he recently saw a mother of 2 in her 20s admitted to McFarland Mental Health Center in Springfield. Quote, "She thought she had a bloody nose, and she was wiping her face over and over," Reeves said. "A lot of people are coming in, and it looks like a normal mental break. Then as we look more into it, we're finding out they're smoking this. We'll have a case like that every few months, and they're not going to be the same person again." Another way synthetic marijuana is different from its naturally growing counterpart is level of addiction. Quote, "With marijuana, you can smoke it for a long time, and you might mentally crave it when you quit. but physically your body is okay, Reeves said. This synthetic marijuana has physical withdrawals comparable to an opiate. Shakes, tremors, sweating. It's not something where you can go to a couple NA, Narcotics Anonymous, meetings and stop doing it. You're going to need treatment. Vail said he's seen the rise in adults with steady jobs who are afraid of failing drug tests because synthetic marijuana doesn't show up in urine tests. Quote, these are guys in their 40s and 50s. They hear about this fake weed that doesn't show up in drug tests, and they say, I'll try that, Vail said. But they don't know what they're getting themselves into. Champion's family members using synthetic marijuana ranged from teenager to adults in their 20s. Quote, I have a few family members who tried it because it didn't show up on drug tests, but I had one young family member, a little hellion, who got into it and started hanging out with people in the streets doing it, Champion said. She did it all last year and couldn't even remember her address. She doesn't remember much of last year at all, but thank God she's off it now. I still haven't given up my fight, though, not after seeing that. One photograph accompanying the article says, while synthetic marijuana is smoked just like real marijuana, the two drugs have little in common. Synthetic marijuana is physically addicting and has been known to cause psychotic episodes. And the photograph shows a baggie of the substance. And then there is this sidebar. The state has tried to outlaw synthetic marijuana more than once, but producers of the drug have stayed one step ahead by changing the formula. Law enforcement officers hope the new state law, which added more to the list of banned chemicals, will finally stop legal sale of the drug. And then there are pictures of the colorful packages that this stuff comes in, and the head caption says, it's rarely difficult for police officers to identify marijuana. It's sold in colorful packages. It's known by several names, including K2, Spice, and F-Weed. Another front page article deals with education. The headline is Altamont Schools Imperiled by State. The writer is Valerie Wells. The Altamont School District doesn't generate enough local tax dollars to operate without general state aid. Though legislators passed the school funding portion of the bill for this year, that's the only budget in place in the state, and fears are growing that next year there won't be enough money for Altamont schools to stay open. Quote, if we don't get our general state aid payments in July and August, we're going to have to make some serious decisions about whether we can even function as a school district, said Superintendent Jeff Fricknich. Continuing the quote, it's disheartening that politics have gotten to the point where we can't sit down in a conference room in Springfield and come to an understanding of what's best for the state. Fricknich has already met with Representative John Cavalletto to tell him what the impact of proration of state funding has been on the district. Altamont has lost $1.5 million to proration, and as a result, the district has spent down its surplus to where cash on hand is down to $389,000. Friknitich said he and the board have discussed options such as abbreviated school days or shorter weeks, and even explored consolidation 3 years ago, but couldn't reach agreement with any nearby district. The problems weren't created overnight and won't be solved overnight, he said. Raising local taxes isn't the answer. Quote, when I raise local property taxes by issuing bonds or what have you, a referendum to make the education fund higher, my general state aid goes down, he said. That's silly. Why put that on the backs of parents who are already paying enough taxes? For 6 years, we have helped the state out as a school system. We have enabled them because of what we've done locally. Three sets of cuts in the last 7 years in my district, and we've done that in a time when enrollment has gone up. We've educated more children with fewer state dollars. He and the school board have agreed that they've cut all they can or will, he added, and with the current state of funding, would have to cut 11 more teachers to open on time in August. I'm also the chairman of the Effingham County Chamber of Commerce, he said. We have businesses who need more skilled labor. There aren't enough in Effingham County or in Macon County, and we're going to have fewer and fewer if we cut those programs. That's not going to get skilled laborers in the workforce. The Illinois State Board of Education said that legislators are expected to pass the school funding portion of the budget in time for schools to open next year, including a provision for ending proration and funding the general state aid at 100%. We turn now to the column A3 briefs for Tuesday. Steak knife slashing. A Decatur man's 56-year-old girlfriend, drunk and under the influence of drugs, slashed at him with a steak knife early Saturday when he refused to give her cash to buy more crack cocaine, according to police. Police said the victim, 61, suffered a 2-inch scratch on his right hand. The suspect was arrested, and while she was being booked into the Macon County Jail, correctional officers say they found a rock of crack cocaine in her right bra cup. She was jailed on preliminary charges of committing domestic battery, causing bodily harm, while having a previous domestic battery conviction for the same offense, possession of drugs, and bringing drugs into a penal institution. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the April 5th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.